I'm joined by Philip Connolly from the Royal National Institute of Blind People, also known as RNIB. Philip is the Employment Campaigns Officer. Now, Philip, today you've launched a new report on vocational rehabilitation at the Health and Wellbeing Conference 2011 in London. Can you tell me why RNIB have produced the report?
Yes, because historically there's been a lot of focus about getting people into work, but it's equally important to help them retain their work and employment status. So this report looks at the business case for doing that and provides convincing arguments to HR professionals, directors of finance, line managers, as to why they should invest in time and money in some cases in doing that.
And what are the main findings of the research? What have you found stands out the most?
I think there's quite a number of findings. First of all, we found that this policy is applicable to people of all disabilities. We haven't found any type of disability that this wouldn't work for. Secondly, we found out that the cost-benefit analysis for doing this exceeds 2.5 to 1. That's quite a critical threshold, because that's the threshold that the government often uses for gauging whether regulations are necessary, or indeed that's the cost-benefit analysis ratio that's often used for investing in public infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
And we're saying, here's the opportunity, here's a business case for investing in people.
In terms of vocational rehabilitation, what type of things does that cover? What does it actually mean and what does it look at?
What it means, it obviously varies from one individual to another.
Mm-hmm.
It varies depending upon their disability or severity of their disability or long-term illness. Sometimes it's often very small, minor things. The time of an occupational therapist, some splints, some an exercise regime, for which the occupational therapist will have an ongoing involvement with the employee. Sometimes even very small amounts of money that these can cost. In the report documents two instances where one cost just over £100, mm-hmm. one cost just over £145, but was successful in helping people to keep their jobs.
And how has IOSH been involved in the work in the report with you?
Well, I'm very indebted to IOSH, particularly Jill Joyce, who works for IOSH. They've helped to provide a case study for the report. They've been a member of the reference group. They've helped with attendant publicity. And going forward, they'll help with the distribution of the report. So fantastic support I've received from IOSH, and thank you very much.
You're more than welcome. And what are your hopes for the research going forward? What do you hope happens?
Well,
next?
What I would like to do, I would like to see the government use this to, along with the evaluation of the Fit for Work pilots. And hopefully, eventually, this will lead to the rollout of a national vocational rehabilitation programme. In the short term, I'd like to work with ACAS, who helped to support the report, maybe the Association of Chief of Accountants, to produce a tool, a software tool, or maybe an online tool that HR professionals can use. And within a day or a couple of days or even less, maybe a couple of hours, they can work out that this, it does indeed, is cost effective to keep people with a newly diagnosed disability or long-term health condition, and not just that it's the right thing to do.
Okay, no, that's brilliant. Thank you so much for joining me today, Philip, and good luck going forward.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
You're more than welcome.